have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. This morning is graduation Sunday, and I feel that I need to give some special instruction to our graduates and also to the soldiers of the cross, those of you who are saved, been living for the Lord. Maybe there's someone here today, you've never been saved. I pray that this would be the day that you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Amen. Verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Verse 8. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the reading of the book of Ecclesiastes, verses 1, 8, 13, and 14. It's as if the writer here is going through stages of his life, and in verse 13 says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Boy, if I knew then what I knew now, a lot of things would be different. Or I'd have done a lot of things different, I'll say that. Can I get a witness? Amen. Father, we enter now into this time of preaching, and we pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in all truth. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to preach. We thank you for these graduates. I pray, God, your hand be upon each and every one of them. Help them to make right choices and decisions based upon godly precepts that are firmly planted in their hearts. Help them, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by saying congratulations to all of our graduates. You have come to a great time of transition in your life. There could be no doubt that you worked hard, you studied hard, you've been faithful to come to the house of God and to make sure that your life at school, you've been very faithful by tending to your studies. And now it's come for the time of graduation. And it's one of the biggest transitions you've faced in your life, other than being saved, up to this point. And I'm very proud of you. Now I want to give you a little spiritual advice, but I want to begin with some quotes by one of my favorites, Yogi Berra, famous baseball player, New York Yankees. He was very well known for his zany comments. He was something else. This is some of the things that he said. You better cut my pizza in 4 pieces because I'm not hungry enough to eat 6. Think about that. If you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. A nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. And here's the one I want to use this morning. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. Well, I want to say to you this morning, you've come to a fork in the road, haven't you? All these years, you've been going to your high school faithfully or to your college faithfully, and now what? And I want to say, first of all, you're asking this question. Preacher Darren, church, mom, dad, will I find fulfillment with what I'm going to do? Will I find success? Will my greatest hopes, will my dreams and my aspirations be achieved? I think Solomon in chapter number 12, verse number 1, gives us the first thought. And it is the declaration that we must fathom. Now please remember, he tells us, remember, now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon wrote 3 books in the Bible. The first book I believe that he wrote was the book of the Song of Solomon. It was a story of a young man full of romance. And then he grows a little older in his life and he comes to middle age and he writes the book of Proverbs. He is a mature man, full of reason. And then he becomes an old man in Ecclesiastes, and for some reason he has become an old man full of regret. And it is this: Solomon was a man that God gave great wisdom and great wealth to. And he was the wisest of all other peoples to live upon this earth, save Jesus Christ. And he's probably the wealthiest as well. What went wrong in his life that a man full of reason could turn into an old man filled with regret? And I want to say that he tried a lot of things. And he looks and he says in chapter 12, verse 1, that you and I need to remember. It is the Hebrew word zekar, which actually is a military term. It means to give attention to follow along, to make sure you pay a very close attention to your Creator. It speaks of commitment. If you're in the military, you can't go out and do whatever you want to do. You're going to do what the captain says do. You're going to do what the sergeant, what the lieutenant says do. Hey, you and I have a mighty captain. His name is Jesus Christ. And we need to follow just exactly what he says for us to do. Please remember that these right now graduates are the best years of your life. So enjoy them and make the most of them. But make sure that you put Jesus Christ first and you commit your way and your life to honor him. Because there are many of us that are now adults in this room that have become old men filled with regrets. Did you realize the decisions you make right now, they're going to stand for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. You'll still be living with those decisions. Some of you are faced with a choice of career, a choice of college, a choice of relationships. You're going to be faced with a choice of who you're going to marry, your mate one day, the friends you have, the places that you go, the music that you listen to, and yes, every person that you date, you need to pay very close attention to, because it could hurt your life or build your life for the rest of your life. And when does it start? Right now. So he gives us a virtuous statement. We jump down to verse 8, and things seem to change for this mature man filled with reason, where he says, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." The word in the Hebrew is the word hevel, which means that which is meaningless. It is actually to pop a bubble. That's exactly what it means. Solomon made a lot of mistakes in his life. He once had wisdom when he was serving God, but he's made some bad decisions. He's chose the wrong paths, and the wrong paths have caused misery to come into his life. You might say he's been looking for happiness in all the wrong places. I brought an example this morning of vanity. There's some of the places that he was looking for happiness. There's some of the places that you're going to be looking for happiness mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn back with me to chapter number 1. Where did he look? Number 1, he looked for learning. He thought learning would give him happiness. Now give a demonstration of looking just for learning alone. Oh, a beautiful little bubble glistening in the beautiful lights. How long does it last? Just a moment. Isn't that great? Learning, this is what it'll do for you. Much learning, praise God, a good education. Just like that, it's gone. Now, preacher, you're telling me not to get education, I'm telling you to put Jesus first. Because the education and learning of this world, it will not give you satisfaction. The only satisfaction comes in Jesus Christ. And he was looking for learning to satisfy his soul. Ecclesiastes 1:13. I gave my heart to seek and search out my wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. According to 1 Kings chapter 4, he was an expert in biology, in zoology. He had wisdom about every single thing that is. He had greater wisdom than any other man. But you see what he said it was? It was nothing more than vanity. He looked for learning, and it did not satisfy his soul. Okay? He looked for another place in chapter 2, verse 1. He tried laughter. You know, activities, entertainment, amusements. Hey, what will activities and entertainments and recreation do for me, preacher? I said in mine heart, chapter 2, verse 1, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. Do you see the pleasures? Oh, a beautiful little bubble glistening in the beautiful lights. How long does it last? Just a moment. And the entertainment and the fun and running to places, all these places that you spend your whole life on. Solomon said, listen, I'm an old man now, filled with regret. I spent much of my time chasing a pipe dream. And now it's over. It's nothing more than vanity, which is a meaningless bubble. Chapter 2, verse 3. Look what else he tried. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. He tried liquor. Show us what liquor will do for you. Look how happy it's going to make you. Look. Just for a moment, look at these beautiful bubbles. Watch them. How quick, how long will they stand? The liquors and the drink and the fun times with your buddies when you go off to college and you say, oh, we're going to have a good time. Nobody will know. Mom and Dad's living back in Spruce Pine, back in Mitchell County, back in Avery County, back in Yancey County. Mom and Dad will never know. My reputation will never go before my mom and dad. God will know. He is always looking. And hear me, that wine will run out. It will not satisfy you. You get up the next morning, you'll be sicker than you was the night before. When you try to drink your problems away, and now you got to drink again and drink again and drink again. Let me give you a little advice. My cousin got a full scholarship to play football. On the night before he was supposed to graduate, he had gotten trouble some with some drinking. And I want you to know they finally kicked him off the team for liquor. And the night before he was supposed to graduate, he went to a party, broke up with his girlfriend, thought he'd drink himself to a place of happiness and pleasure. And that night he began to want to vomit. And as he did, he aspirated that in his lungs. And there he laid and he drowned in his own vomit and he died. He never, ever got to walk across the platform and graduate. Because he said, look at the bubble here of liquor. Maybe it'll give me pleasure. Maybe it'll cause me to forget my problems. And now my family has been filled with pain and agony because that young man chose the wrong thing and made a huge mistake in his life. Young people, I'm begging you. You listen to your little old preacher here. It is not worth it. Let me save you the trouble. In verse number 4, he tried another bubble. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth the trees. I got me servants and maidservants, and I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. He tried luxury. What will luxury get us? Let's see. Oh, look at all these big, fine things that you work so hard to get. Houses and cars and luxuries and big farms and big ideas and all this technology you invest in. How long does it last? Oh, look at that beautiful bubble right there. 3, 2, 1. Boom. It's gone. Hey, church, how long will the luxuries of this life last you? Listen. Some of you spent everything you have, all your time in life, you spent chasing a bubble. It's worse than a child. And now as an adult, you realize that a bubble doesn't last, but just for a moment. Life is just a vapor, and it's over. The luxuries of this world that you work so hard to get, here today, gone tomorrow. That car you work so hard to get, after you're gone, somebody else will drive it away from the graveyard. Hear me. The luxuries of this world, they're not worth it.
Those are things that will not give you satisfactions. Listen to wisdom. Listen to Solomon as he tells you, as an old man, I have a lot of regrets. The liquors and all the luxuries of this world, they will not give you satisfaction. Look at verse number 10. Again, he speaks about my heart rejoiced in all my labor. He went from an alcoholic to becoming a workaholic. Now there's some of you, I would dare say, truth be known, you're about a workaholic. You're just going all the time. What will the bubble of being a workaholic, of chasing down labor all the time? You got to be buried in your work, thinking that my career will give me the satisfaction that I desire. This is what I want. I want to be a career woman. I want to be a career man. I've got to have that great job. That's what I've got to have. But look at all those bubbles that these kids leave as graduates from here chasing. It's gone. Listen to Solomon as he says, you know, chasing all these labors, it's good to work, but labor and work will not satisfy you. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. He says that he had, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of princes. What do you think he's chasing here? He's chasing the bubble of filthy lucre. Gotta have money, man. Gotta have money. Gotta do whatever I've gotta do. Gotta have money. Gotta have money. I remember when we first got married, man, I was volunteering to work. Gotta have money. Gotta do this. Gotta get that. Gotta have money. Gotta have money. I was chasing the wrong thing. Money's here today, gone tomorrow. It doesn't mean anything. As long as I have enough money to buy a Happy Meal, I'm tickled to death, amen. Lord to God, having your bank account filled with all the treasures and all the silver of this world, you know where it'll get you? Watch. Watch. Here today, gone tomorrow. Quickly, just a fleeting moment, and all those luxuries, all those things, boom, are gone. Read on with me in verse 8. He says, I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men. When I think about the delights of the sons of men, he tried the bubble of lust. The sons of men, you know what that represents? The delights of the sons of men? He chased women. Oh man, if I could just get me a beautiful woman, I'd be tickled to death. And then he said, I want two. And then I want three. And the Bible tells me that he married 700 wives and he had 300 concubines. Chase after the bubble of lust. You're wasting your time. You wish you'd never started that stuff. The best thing you can do is remain pure before the Lord. You'll never find satisfaction in 700 wives and 300 concubines. The only thing that will satisfy you is Jesus Christ. He has fixed it that way. Solomon found out. I have found out. There's a lot of adults in this sanctuary. You found out. The only thing that will really satisfy me is Jesus. Just Jesus. I dare not spend all my time on everything else. How quickly a bubble can burst on you. And how you chase them. There goes another bubble. There's a bigger bubble over here. That looks. And you spend all your time chasing bigger and bigger bubbles, but they all do the same thing. What do? They bust, they pop, they disappear. Boom! And they're gone. So listen to what he says. There's a declaration that we must fathom. That is, you better remember your Creator. You better serve your God. That's a virtuous statement. It is that you and I need to commit to serve Jesus Christ. Look with me in chapter number 2, verse number 11. Listen to what he learned. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and all the labor that I'd labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. In fact, he said in chapter number 12 and in verse number 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He's saying that all my pursuits was chasing a pipe dream. It was emptiness, vanity to the highest degree. He learned his whole life as he lived, the only way you can get satisfaction is from God.
Number two, look in verse 13 of chapter 12. There is a duty then that we must follow. He says, this is the whole duty of man at the end of the verse. Preacher, what is the whole duty of man? What should we do? Number one, you need to have a life humble before God. He says, fear God. Hey, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon was a wise man. He learned, hey, if I'll fear and reverence God and humble myself before him, that's all a man needs. It's just to fear God, to walk humbly with the Lord and to walk before the Lord. And then he says, keep his commandments. That is, make sure your life is lived holy to the Lord. H-O-L-Y. Preacher, I don't like that word holy. It scares me to death. Well, listen, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have a holy Bible that you read from. And you have a thrice holy God that you serve. Amen. And then he says, this is the whole duty of man. It is a life honored by God. He told us in 1 Samuel, didn't he? He said, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. Hear what I'm going to tell you. God's not a respecter of persons. But he did promise us this. He said, if you will honor me, I'll honor you. I had rather stand at the back door of this church shaking hands and you spit in my face, as horrible as that would be and as much as it would hurt me, I had rather you spit in my face and say, I'll never hear you preach again, Preacher Darren, as to dishonor God. I had rather have the honor of God than men's applause. I'd rather have the honor of God than anything this world has to offer. If you'll honor God, he will honor you. That is the duty in our life. That's the duty that we should follow. Last of all, and I'm done. Number three, what is the destiny we must face? Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You realize there's a day of judgment coming? Every hidden thing is going to be revealed. Every secret prayer, praise God. But every secret curse word, when you murmured under your breath, when you went behind the wall and your mama asked you to do something, you went behind the wall and said, stuck your tongue out at her. God knows about it. And you're going to answer for that. He said, honor thy father and thy mother. How is sticking your tongue out behind the other side of a wall, honoring your mama? Hello. Every idle word is going to be brought to light. There's some of you that's just brave enough to go ahead and type it out. I tell you what, God's going to bring that stuff back up against you yet. You've not seen the end yet. But at the judgment you will. Things you've forgotten. Way back yonder where you committed to do things and you wouldn't do it. God's going to bring that up against you. You're going to have no choice but to admit and acknowledge that you made great errors in your life. The best thing you can do is realize right now it's going to be exposed. He admonishes us to live a humble life, a holy life, an honorable life before the Lord. So in conclusion, there was a man and his son who visited the local general store back in the days of the horse and buggy. And the man, he parked his horse and wagon outside, and he left his four-year-old son in the wagon all alone. But something startled those horses. They reared back, rose up, and they began to get the willy-nillies, and they took off down the main street of town with a four-year-old boy in a wagon in tow. The little four-year-old boy began to scream, murderous screams. But a man who was walking down the street saw what was happening. He quickly took the back alley. And as he cut through the back alley where the horse was coming around, he jumped onto the wagon, took the reins, and stopped those horses. The acts of that man stopped the horse and saved the life of that young little boy. And don't you know the daddy was grateful? And don't you know the little four-year-old boy was grateful to that man who risked his life and limb to save him? Fast forward 25 years. The four-year-old boy is now 29 years old. He's lived a life of crime and wickedness. He's been brought to a courtroom for an arraignment hearing. And he stands before the bench. He looks up and he notices that 25 years later, that judge is the same one who saved him 25 years before when he was a four-year-old boy.
The man looked up and said, "Judge, do you remember me? Do you remember saving me that day in the middle of the town as the horses were running wild?" He said, "Yes, son, I do remember." But he said, "Here's the problem. I'm afraid you not lived a good life, and I wish you had lived a better life." He peered over the bench and looked in the face of the young man. He said, "Son, 25 years ago I was your savior, but today I'm your judge." And I'm going to tell you young people something. I'm glad that you have given the testimony and the profession that Jesus Christ has saved you. But when you leave this area and you take off to school, he's watching. And as much as you want to please your mom and your dad, and you want to make your preacher proud, you know this, that God is always watching. Please don't waste your life chasing a bubble that only lasts for a moment. You make sure and you get the one thing that'll satisfy you, that is to fear God and to keep his commandments, to walk humbly and holy with the Lord and honor him. And if you do, then one day he will honor you. You stand to your feet this morning. Can I get a witness as I give an invitation? There's only one that'll satisfy you. His name is Jesus. Just like you have a hunger right now, it's close to 12 o'clock, and you're hungry, you're ready to go to lunch, and you know there's only one thing going to satisfy you? It's called food. Got to have something to eat. God's created a hunger in your life, a void that only he can fill. It's an empty place in your heart that says, "I want to save your soul." Oh, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I pray this would be the day that you'd call on the name of Jesus Christ and you'd make him your Savior and your Lord. He already loves you and he's already willing to forgive you of your sin if you'll just ask him. Somebody here today that you feel like this morning, God spoke to my heart, Preacher Darren, for about my family. Preacher Darren, we've had wrong priorities. We've chased money. Preacher Darren, I know exactly what you're saying because it has not given me satisfaction. Maybe, just maybe, you as a grandparent, maybe you as a parent, you ought to slip this altar and say, "Oh God, I prayed over my boy. I prayed over my grandson. I prayed over my girl. I prayed over my granddaughter." Why don't you take time to pray again this morning?